Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're on a live program today. You can reach us 410-662-8780 or toll-free 866-661-9309. The call from Mary was very cool. I want to eat great Lebanese food in East Jerusalem.
I agree. I just want to go to the Middle East and eat everywhere, quite frankly.
Some of that might be just because the winter has been long and cold.
Right.
And I want to be somewhere warm and dry.
I just like to eat something I've never had, you know. I think that's supposed to be such a great, wonderful experience.
And you're welcome to call us with the things that you've had that were amazing somewhere that you think we've missed that we need to know about. But like I said, you can reach us live. We can go to a call. Mick in Hampstead has a question about fennel blossoms.
Good afternoon, Mick.
Hi. Good afternoon. Hey, question for the both of you, actually. I spent 10 years working in a winery and 10 years working in a restaurant, so I'm pretty good at making food and pairing wines, but I have one that I have a great deal of trouble with, and that is, for the past several years, I've been collecting and preserving fennel blossom, which I love to cook with. And I've come up with some decent recipes, I guess, but what would be your perfect recipe with fennel blossom, Chef Wolf, and what would be the perfect wine to serve with it, Tony?
I think
depends on the preparation.
Yeah, it's, I would use fish. I would definitely perfume a broth with fennel blossoms for maybe a piece of red snapper or our beautiful local rockfish. Make it pretty simple, like a fish fumet with the fennel blossom in at the end, shallow poach the fish, a little bit of butter, a little bit of finely chopped shallot. And one of the great things about that is once you're done poaching the fish pretty gently, shallow poach, which means that the broth would only come up about halfway up the side of the fish. And you can always cut out a circle of parchment paper, fan it out, and put it on top of the fish to sort of keep it steaming as it cooks. You can reduce that down and make a great pan sauce. And you could either, you know, bring it down a little bit and serve it as a broth and maybe drizzle one of your favorite extra virgin olive oils on top, or you could reduce it down even further and finish it with a little bit of cold butter, which is called monte au beurre, which means to lift with butter. So, yeah, that could be very pretty. That's what I would suggest.
Fish in that kind of preparation and with that perfume, I would say, Vermentino from Sardinia, if you like wine that's a little more savory and less fruity, I think might be interesting. I have a great recollection of fennel blossoms fried, like little tiny tempura.
Oh, I've never tried that.
And what happens is they kind of link up almost like a giant cookie if they in the fryer. And so you end up with these big crunchy leaves of the little blossoms.
There you go.
And that with a glass of, there's a sparkling wine that is made from one of the grapes in Friuli called Rebola Gialla. And that spumante from that that yellow Rebola is the Italian for the name of the grape. It has a very particularly almost like underripe pineapple flavor. And it's super moussey and a little bit off dry is great. I have a memory of that at a place called La Subida, right on the border with Slovenia. At a first visit there years ago, that was amazing. It's the first thing that we had to eat and drink there, and it was just killer. So when you say fennel blossoms, I have very happy memories of that.
There you go. Thanks, Mick.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Oh, I have a cousin in New Freedom, Pennsylvania. Hi, Fran. How are you?
Hi, Cindy. It's lovely to be on your show.
Thank you.
I am a second-generation Italian.
Very good.
I mean, American. All four of my grandparents were born in Italy.
So you have no accent at all.
There you go. They're all from the South, Calabria, Caserta, outside of Naples, and Palermo. And I'm trying to plan a trip. I've never been. All of my siblings have been, but I have not been. And I'm planning a trip, and of course, I want to eat and drink my way through Italy.
Absolutely.
And I am drawn to other areas away from the south of Italy, but because of my heritage, I want to go south. And I just thought I'd ask if you had any thoughts or recommendations.
Way too many to answer in a short time on the radio.
Yeah.
The three areas you're talking about, near Naples, but the hills around there.
Yes.
They're amazing places, amazing places to get to. There is just south of Naples, There's a little tiny town, Santa Agata de Due Golfi. There's something that juts out into the sea, almost like a giant rock, and you drive up it, and there's a location there with a couple of agriturismo, where there's a view of the Bay of Naples, and also a view south, with beautiful food, everything grown on the farm. There's several of them that are there, but take a look at that town and what is there, Santa Agata de Due Golfi.
That sounds wonderful.
That is remarkable, and in Naples, there's very cool stuff to see, but it's busy, and it's also maybe it's probably the second most complicated city to drive in Italy.
Huh. Yeah, Naples is something.
Definitely the most complicated drivers, let's say.
Hang out in the country. Go to the country.
in Calabria, now Cindy had not been to Calabria until the last time that we took a group from work, and she understands, I think, my affection for it.
Beautiful.
And it's incredibly, it's more diverse than you ever think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Calabria is a very cool driving trip from one side to the other of it. And it's a big region.
Oh, that sounds great.
The Adriatic coast near Ciro, C-I-R-O, and that wine growing region, I would check that out. And then you had mentioned.
Is that near Pescara?
That is well south of Pescara.
Well south, okay.
And that's the flight into Pescara is not so hard. That's in Abruzzo. And you can drive south from Abruzzo. It's easy to rent a car at the Pescara airport, honestly, and drive south from there and down into Calabria.
We took a lot of little flights on that trip to get around. You can do
too. I'll tell you, it hops you all over the place pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And a little easier with the euro this year. In Sicily, there's a million things to see.
Oh, Sicily's amazing.
And Palermo has some cool restaurants. None of them are easy to find. I tell you that
really?
Right now. All the places you want to eat are not easy to find in Palermo.
So they're the kind where there's no sign and you have to, like, ring the bell to get in or something?
That is exactly. Cindy's laughing
right
because,
track.
Yeah, because that's exactly. The one thing, GPS, once you're south of Rome, the further south you go, the further off your GPS is going to be.
Right.
That's
you're
going
to have to go on instinct a little bit and probably have a good map.
Okay.
If you make contact with wineries and winery owners in some of the regions that you want to get to, they want to have their wine in the best restaurants in their region for sure.
Okay.
Lining up a visit with them and asking them for information about where to dine, perhaps.
What a good idea.
Is always smart intel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Always smart intel.
Have a good trip, Fran. That's exciting.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate your show and your restaurant.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Barbara in Falston needs to speak to Cindy immediately.
Yes, because
I
love to make scrambled eggs, and I'm extremely excited about your question. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. it's so nice to ask the very best of the answer to my very basic question.
I have
been making scrambled eggs for decades and not quite being satisfied. I'm thinking there must be a technique an addition or something that would just make them creamy and
mm-hmm.
yummy.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing is one, the eggs have to be fresh, but you have to cook eggs on low heat and you have to break up the curd. So I use a fork, I use a good stainless steel pan, and I use butter. So there's got to be enough butter to coat the bottom of the pan and then roll it around so it hits the sides nicely. And you need a little bit extra butter in there. It can't be just enough to coat. Really whisk your eggs well, salt and pepper. And then as you're cooking them, you can add, you typically add Gruyere cheese to mine at the end. So you want to have your Gruyere grated. You can make them without cheese. You can finish with a little bit of heavy cream, and you can also make wonderful scrambled eggs that are light without adding either one of those things. But I like cream, and I like a little bit of cheese. But the slower you sort of shake the pan, you're shaking, and you're you can't stop. I'm doing it with my hands right now on the radio station. I'm like, oh my God, she can't see me. But yeah, you're shaking the pan, and you're moving your fork constantly, constantly. I mean, you cannot stop. Don't talk to somebody. Don't let them talk to you. Concentrate on what you're doing. Absolutely on low heat, hopefully a gas flame. If it's on electric, you're going to really have to monitor your heat.
I do cook with electric.
Okay, so you're going to probably have to pull your pan up off the heat at some point, just so that your pan doesn't get too too warm. And that's the whole ballgame, is shake, 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 stir, 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 low, low heat, decent amount of fat, and then about three-quarters of the way through, and don't overcook them, three-quarters of the way through, either you add like a teaspoon of heavy cream or you add in your, you know, a little bit of grated cheese, whether it's a great cheddar or Gruyere or whatever you want to put in, and just really keep shaking that pan, and then it should be fine. That's what makes a great scrambled egg. It's just got to be fine, fine, fine curd.
Oh, that's just lovely. Oh, thank
it's
you
so good.
So much.
Oh, you're welcome, Barbara.
I'll look forward to doing it tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I want to hear how it goes.
You have
to write in and tell me if you did it or not.
Okay. I will do it. All right. You'll just know that for sure.
All right. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we have Melanie in Baltimore. Melanie, go ahead.
Hi. I have a very practical question. I'm lactose intolerant to the nth degree, and you don't find cream that is lactate-treated.
No.
I'm wondering, since you all are the experts, what do you use instead of cream when you're cooking when you can't use cream?
To me, the question is always, what exactly is the dish and what is the result you're chasing?
I like, let's say, Alfredo kind of thing or any kind of thing that you would use cream with, because I have no idea what to substitute for cream, especially something that is lactose-free, and it's a real problem for
me. Right. I understand, because you're not alone. A lot of people are lactose intolerant, and really for me, because I make food with cream in it, I've never, you know, typically if a guest comes in and they ask for something without dairy product in it, we simply just remove the dairy, or we make a slightly...
You can't make an Alfredo, though.
Right, you can't. No, well, no, that's what I honestly can't give you an answer to
I
that
wonder,
because I am not really...
You can't make a cream sauce without cream, and I don't think that there's a reasonable substitute to get you that kind of a
feeling
dish.
Of an Alfredo sauce.
The pasta that maybe you want to learn might be carbonara, where you use eggs to give you texture instead of the dairy.
Yeah, but what's she going to add the eggs to?
It has to be stock. I mean, it has to be a white chicken stock.
Yeah, that's...
You essentially are making a hollandaise
or
rich
a liaison.
You make a liaison with white chicken stock.
Which is, you would have to heat up the stock and then whisk in the eggs to it. But, of course, now you have to watch to make sure it doesn't curdle.
Yeah, it's a little, or making something with a hollandaise base and then flavoring it the way that you wish. That's one of the only ways you can actually get a pretty decadent texture without cream. Mm-hmm. But I'll take a good spaghetti alla guitarra with a really good carbonara and some nice pancetta or something. I'll take that in a heartbeat over almost anything with Alfredo sauce.
Okay.
It's a little bit trickier, but it's a worth it thing.
Mm-hmm. I just thought I would ask the experts.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you
all
very
the best.
Much.
Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, and we're quite obviously live and taking your calls, 410-662-8780 or toll-free 866-661-9309. And we have our own little list of items that are of mind at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
What else is on your list, Sind?
Well, as a chef, I'm thinking about my menu. I always think about my menu changes for the following week. And this is a funny time of the year because we are not, while it's supposedly spring.
This is the you want it to be spring time.
Right, right. We're all so ready, and yet there's nothing growing. So, locally.
April 25th is the first, sun-infused product.
Right. So, we're waiting for asparagus April 25th, apparently.
Typically.
And
that's my bet this
year. That's a long way away from now. So, what's on my mind is, what can I get that feels seasonal? For example, I'll be talking to my purveyor on Monday about crawfish. So, this is one of the first things, that and morels. And we've seen some morels and I think, we've probably all been buying them. So I'll be searching for morels and probably doing something with morels on the menu next week, looking for crawfish. Also thinking in terms of the end of winter, probably the last of oysters on the half shell, what raw oysters I'd like to find that will be fun for next week. And also spring lamb. So, and scallops in the shell, scallops out of the shell, sea scallops, whatever, or, our bays around, so all of these things.
The two seafood things right out of captivity right now, mussels,
mm-hmm.
finally.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, the mussel thing for the last month or so has been, well, all shellfish really has been a problem because of all the frozen,
the freezes,
all the cold weather up north. So, yeah, we're kind of excited to have this thaw happen and really see some great seafood coming out.
We do have a tip from Jennifer in Baltimore.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Swarda. Thank you both so much for all your wisdom about food and the nose of wine. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make a comment. I just finished nutrition school, and we actually use cashew cream as a substitute for dairy, and it can be really delicious. You can add some maple syrup and vanilla or spices, or you can take it the other way and add garlic and things like that to make it more savory.
Okay, so cashew cream. That's great. Thank you.
Sounds like something interesting to play with.
You just soak it for 6 hours, and then you blend it up and put whatever you want in it.
There you go. Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's cool. We have one listener question we can't quite get all the way.
Right.
And we have,
that's nice. Great
another
answer.
Listener call in to help out.
That's nice. Very good.
That's terrific. It's funny. It's this time of the year is when I always see chefs get frustrated and white asparagus hits menus.
Right.
Because they wish
they wanted exactly. Actually, I was thinking about that about a week ago. Just vegetables. I want more vegetables.
I had a chef turn to me last week say, "Is it time for the white asparagus pizza again?" Well, you're about a month away from real asparagus, so why not?
Go for it, right?
There's no question. Well, when we come back, we're still taking your calls, 410-662-8780, or emails formanwolf@wypr.org. And summer before this is all over, we've got a little chef challenge to get to on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine.